Welcome. You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. The program you're listening to is called A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims. This program is live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on any electronic device, cell phone, iPhone, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. If you would like to connect with myself or my guest today while we are on the air from 4:15 until 5 p.m., please call 740-383-9944. Again, 740-383-9944. And that is for questions or comments until 5 minutes of the hour. We will be taking questions or comments. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialists, LLC, location 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, and this announcement will take effect this Saturday, July the 13th, from the hours of 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. It's free produce market. No appointment or pre-registration required. Simply show up, provide your name and number of people in your household. Again, that will be this Saturday, July 13th at Logos Christian Ministries. We also have Inspect Ohio LLC, home inspection company with your real estate needs and also 25 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 240-262-0939. Again, 740-262-0939. And I'd like to also always start our program out with a thought for today. And the thought for today is called 86,400 seconds. Let's see what that has to enlighten us. Okay. Imagine there is a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400 a day. Every evening, whatever part of the balance you fail to use during the day is deleted. What would you do? Draw out every cent and use it well? Of course. Each of us has such a bank. Its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 84,400 seconds. Invest today's deposits well, or the loss is yours. How could you bring the most contentment, happiness, and benefit to yourself and others? The clock is running. How you like that, Jeff?
Where is it running to?
It's moving all the time.
Time is running out. We
yes,
got to catch
it. Is. My guest today is Jeff Porter, our doomsday prophet. He's back with us again by great demand. He is the author of a book called Expressions of the Last Days.
Yes.
And he is really intent on end time prophecy.
Yes.
And those of you who are interested, you are more than welcome to call 740-383-9944. So how's your day going today?
Oh, it's not too bad. How about you?
Good.
Not bad. I did watch and we're still having a lot of turmoil in the weather, I noticed, on the Weather Channel.
Yes.
So we're still being warned that the tribulation's coming.
Yes.
So some people should really take heed of that instead of robbing the bank for whatever it is they're going to do.
Say rob a bank.
Whatever crime they're going to commit, they better think twice about it anymore. You know.
Do you think people even consider that when they have made up their minds to do evil?
Probably
or do
not.
Wrong, you know?
No. They don't dare. I mean, you know, if you're going to sit there and think about the consequences of your act, you could end up in prison for 38 years or whatever, 40 years, life.
But some of that stuff you can reason away. You can use your own reason and say, well, but they might not catch me this time. You know,
yeah.
I might be able to get away with it.
Well, they've probably gotten away with it for a long time. I saw some things on, like, well, you know, some of those cops and robbers documentaries where a bunch of cops got together and started robbing banks. But eventually they got caught. You know, somebody, but it would be pretty hard to get away with robbing a bank these days with the cell phones, you know, around. Somebody's bound to call in. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or take a picture.
Yeah. So
can't get away from that, can we?
That would be very hard.
Cameras, right, in everybody's hand or pockets or purses, you know. Absolutely. So
well,
I know. Go ahead.
We were talking about the guy that called in yesterday.
I was going to
asking about, for one thing, the historical accuracy of the Bible, which most everybody, non-believers, always get on that subject and try to say that the Bible's too old. It's been handed down for thousands of years, and it's bound to have mistakes in it and so on. Well, there was this guy not too long ago, maybe 15 years ago. His name is Lee Strobel. And he was a journalist for Chicago Tribune and an atheist.
Right.
But he was a very good journalist, good writer, and a good researcher. And one day he was sitting at home, he's perfectly content, and his wife comes home and says, I'm coming back to God. I was away from God for a long time. I'm going to go start going back to church and stuff. And that really knocked him off of his rocker, you know. Got him out of his comfort zone. So he decided, okay, fine. I'm going to go prove the Bible wrong then. You know, I'm sure it won't be that difficult because, like they said, it's been handed down for thousands of years. It's bound to be inaccurate, you know.
Or has lost some of his punch.
Lost its luster.
Yeah.
So he started doing research, and it got more and more difficult to prove anything wrong in the Bible, you know, comparing documents, comparing people's testimonies, so on and so forth. He's used to doing that kind of research. He's an expert at it.
Right.
And he could not find anything wrong with it. And he told about the journey. He went on his journey. He said he suggested that people go on that journey and try to prove the Bible wrong. Eventually, he couldn't prove it wrong at all, and he was stuck with a decision whether to throw it out or accept Christ as a Savior, but he knew the truth now.
Right.
So he ended up getting saved as a result. He wrote The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and The Case for the Creator. Okay. Well, the last one was a lecture on how wrong evolution is and how right creation is. People don't realize that these intermediates that are supposed to exist in the fossil record just aren't there. And also some other scientists had found out that you can't create DNA from nothing. It's too complicated.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And so that is one of the strongest cases in favor of the historical accuracy of the Bible. That's one of my favorite. I suggest, if you don't like to read, to get the DVDs, Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. At least watch that one because it is powerful.
Right. And I know my sister used to bring that to me also. And one day she told me, you can't believe that Bible because man wrote that Bible. And I'm like, okay, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture has been inspired by God. That means, you know, he is sovereign and he can inspire your mind. Like you said,
yeah.
He talks to you, you know, I mean, he's sovereign Lord. He is the controller of you, period, and of me. You know, we give him that right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because that's what Lord means, controller, ruler.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, we do have to give our permission to be ruled. He doesn't, you know, pin us down and put our arm behind our back and push it up to our neck until we cry. But he has a way.
I used to think that.
Hey, you know what? He has a way of doing that, too. Until you cry uncle.
Yeah.
And you give up. You really do.
We all have strong wills.
Yes, we do. But if he has called you, he has a way.
Yes.
Bringing you
yes,
in.
He does.
You know, just like that caller yesterday. If you have been chosen by God, he has a way of bringing you in.
That's right.
You might not understand right now, but you will.
These people wouldn't call in if they weren't... I'm just harassing myself now. I just let
Is
it
that
get,
your phone?
Yeah. I just let it get done. I usually try to leave it out in the car, but I forgot this time.
But anyway, I do have to make this announcement for those of you who are listening. And maybe you were expecting H. Good to be here today. His wife was in a car accident. She wasn't hurt, but she did get pretty well shaken up. And he just thought it was a good idea to be there for his family. And I agreed with him. Now, he has rescheduled for July the 23rd, which is 2 weeks from today, to be on the Voice of the People. So I will put up the advertisement on Facebook for those of you who were looking forward to having questions or comments for him. So just stay tuned, and hopefully you will enjoy this show also and the many more that will be coming your way. And thank you for listening. Thank you so very much. But we're getting back to atheism.
Josh McDowell.
Who's that? Oh, he's an actor, isn't he?
He's a lecturer, a Christian lecturer.
Okay.
And he's a former atheist.
Is he? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think he said because he was horribly abused by his father.
Okay.
And it messed him up royal for a long time. And he thought if there is a God... Forget it. I don't want nothing to do with him anyways.
Right.
You know?
Why would he let such terrible things happen to me?
Yeah. And that's hard to understand. It really is. So I understand where he's coming from. But eventually, God kept bugging him. Is really what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, he kept running into people. He went to college because he's very intellectual. You know, I don't know what he was studying. But he eventually got saved as a result of God bugging him. And he started trying to prove the Bible wrong, too, and ended up getting saved.
Right, right.
That's the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me, I didn't do that. I thought my thing was I became an atheist because I just, you know, you always get this from people. These days, especially atheists, you know, science has all the answers, you know. But I found out as I went along, I was trying to be, I acted like I was Mr. Scientist or something when I was in school, you know. And I was trying to boost up my ego, I guess. I wanted everybody to think I was some kind of intellectual or something. And
a step above everybody.
Yeah, you know, okay. Yeah.
Showboat.
I guess so, you know. Some people believed it, some didn't.
Okay.
But I was so restless, and I became discontented at home, and I ran away and with a friend of mine. My friend was a lot more worldly knowledgeable than I was. I didn't know nothing about the world, you know. So he said, what we got to do, we ran away to Louisville, Kentucky, because he said he had a friend there that we could meet, and they let us stay there for a few days. And then they changed their mind when let us stay there. So he said, well, let's try to join the Army. You know, that was a pretty good idea, really. And we went through most of the process, but then they found out we were a fraud because we were, you know, I was 17. I wasn't old enough.
Oh, wow, you weren't even 18.
No.
You couldn't join the Army.
No. So eventually they called home. And my brother came and got us. My brother and his wife came and got us and brought us back to Marion. And they put me in jail for a couple days to keep me from running away again. That upset me. I didn't like that. So they put me on this big bed, probation and stuff. And I said I wanted to join the Army. And they said, well, if your parents will sign... you can go in at 17. And so they did. I didn't want to be at home on probation. That was making things even worse, you know.
Right.
So I went in the Army, and I met this guy while I was in there, Mike, and he was an American Indian. And by then, I was really a total atheist by then, you know. But he introduced me to the occult over time, because when I went, then I got transferred eventually to Fort Bliss.
But why didn't you believe in God?
I just thought science had all the answers, and okay. I had another big problem was I had an uncle who was an atheist.
Okay.
I could say agnostic, but I really think he was more or less an atheist.
Okay.
And he had all kinds of arguments against the existence of God, you know. And he was a big influence. So I started believing in evolution. Of course, they taught it in school when I was there. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah.
You know, as if it's an absolute fact.
That's true. They do.
And
Though
the way they teach it, you know, you would think that it's, you can't disprove it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a lot of stuff in the Army, all kinds of fears and trepidations and good stuff and bad stuff, a lot of alcohol and pot and all that stuff. I didn't get too carried away with the drugs, but I did with the alcohol. Whoa. But
that was illegal.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm 17 and I could go to the NCO club and drink myself into a stupor, you know, and I did. But finally got out. I was running around with a friend of mine. I was Mike talked about all kinds of occult stuff, you know, astral projection, you know, where you project yourself out of your body.
You really tried that?
I was able to do it once.
Really?
Yeah. It's real, but it's of the occult.
Right. Was it fun? Or?
Yeah. It was fun.
Oh, wow.
But I couldn't stay out of my body for some reason. Your body calls you back.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. I think if you do that too much, you could end up dying because your spirit's out of your body, you know.
Wow.
And I talked all kinds of weird, crazy crap in the Army, you know. I'm surprised they didn't kick me out for craziness, you know. But anyway, they knew I was just a kid, and you know, I got out of the Army and I started running around with a friend of mine. I still was running around to the bars and discos and stuff. Back then was when discos were big time, you know. And didn't accomplish much except one night, when a friend of mine and I, he had a Camaro, he had a souped-up Camaro, and we was always going to Bucyrus, to the discos in Bucyrus, and one time when I was sitting there, I felt the strangest feeling that I should take a cab home or something, anything, don't ride with your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to do that, because the feeling was so strong. But I ended up going with him back because I just felt like I was abandoning him or something. And on the way back, he just let loose on it. He got lead foot on the accelerator, and we were probably doing over maybe 110 or something like that on the way back, and he hit some gravel on the side of the road. And we flew across the road, hit a telephone pole and a sign, and flipped over sideways several times. And got out of the car, but here comes the paramedics and everything. Somebody apparently called them, and the police and the paramedics, they took us to Smith Clinic. Smith Clinic was a hospital back then.
Yeah, I remember that.
They took us to the emergency room. I just had a cut on my hand, and they had to put some stitches in, about 4 or 5 stitches. I used to have a scar there. You could just barely see it now. This is when I was in my 20s. But on the way, when my friend was hit that accelerator, I could feel the presence of Christ in the back seat behind me.
And even though you were atheist.
Yeah.
Feel the spirit.
Yeah,
you
there was
the difference.
There was no denying it, you know. And he leaned forward and he said, I was afraid to look behind me. And he said,
that strong of a presence.
Oh, yeah. And he said, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. And it was eventually, mm-hmm. you know. I think we went to court and there was a guy, there was this lawyer that got my friend off as far as DWI was concerned. So the car was destroyed, though. Totally destroyed. Now, I don't know if he had total insurance on it or nothing. I forgot to even ask him, but I was kind of beat up, you know, from thrashing around in the car because neither of us were wearing our seat belts. But neither of us got hurt real bad either. Mm-hmm. So after that, I was like, well, whoa. You know, Jesus was in the back seat there. So
you didn't forget about that again?
No, not hardly. So I said, I don't know, is Christ the answer or what, you know? So later on, I remember walking down the street and thinking, well, if Christ really is the answer, then I want to know if that's the truth.
So, but when he spoke to you, did you realize that was Christ?
Yeah, I did.
You didn't have to ask any questions?
No.
You knew without a shadow of a doubt?
Yep. So there was no question about it. So I talked to my friend about it that was driving. I said, did you feel anything, hear anything? Nope. So that was exclusively for me, you know. And so later on I started talking to Mike. I got back in touch with him, and he had gotten saved. And I said, and me and him used to talk bad, you know, talk bad about televangelists and the church and everything.
Well, you were haters at one time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're unbelievers.
Yes.
So, but that had a big impact on me because Mike was so anti-Christ, you know, that, and we both were, and that him getting saved was, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I know what you mean. What's that?
What does this mean, you know? So one day he called my parents. My dad worked at the Huber at the time.
I remember that on Greenwood Street, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was did some kind of mechanical work on rollers and graders, you know. He was one of the builders. And they went on strike, and they never came off of strike, and so the Huber moved to, like, North Carolina, I think it was. And so I said, I don't want to go to North Carolina, because I was taking some college courses at the time, you know, in journalism, and I didn't want to leave. So he helped me get this crappy little room. It was a small room on an off, you know, side street. I think it was called DeWolf or something.
DeWolf Court.
It might have been DeWolf Court. And I didn't, it was a one-room apartment, but it was nice and cheap, mm-hmm. you know. And I worked at, what was the name of that restaurant? It used to be L&K. But anyways, I was a busboy there. I made just enough money to be able to, you know, survive. Mm-hmm. And so Mike called me one day, right as mom and dad were getting ready to move. And he said, I can come to Marion, you know, right now. So actually, I met him at the Columbus Airport and brought him back to that little one-room thing. And we got to talking. It was a very strange time in my life. I felt very ethereal, like, wow, something spiritual is happening here. And I thought Mike was like a guru or something. And because, you know, he had his American Indian thoughts, and they are very strange compared to the white man because they just don't think the same way.
Oh, I'm sure
you know,
they do not.
No, they're very
backgrounds.
They're very intelligent.
I believe that too.
And so eventually I gave up. At that time, I just gave up my job at the restaurant, and Mike and I just started living in my car.
Two people in one car.
Yeah. And it was weird.
Like a rocky road.
Yeah.
Your start, yeah, okay.
But I felt like all of that was of God. No, now I do.
Means to an end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. God was taking me down a road of training. But we ended up at the McDonald's north there on Main Street. And Mike was trying to tell me about Christ, and I just, you know, eh. But on the inside, I was thinking, you know, what is this all about? So he went up to get us some refills. We were always getting coffee, you know, and so he went up to get us some refills. And I felt the same presence of Christ that I did in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
So he
was
left.
Knocking on my door.
Okay.
And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, well, I've answered most of your questions. Why don't you just let me in? Spoke mm-hmm. to my heart. And I said, okay. And I let him in, and I was born again in McDonald's in there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How inspiring that is.
Yeah, I went on living in my car for about 6 months after that. That whole thing after that's another big, long, time-consuming story.
But that helps other people who are unbelievers and maybe want to know about Christ, because they don't really know about Christ and they don't have to go through any formality to receive Christ or to even be introduced to Christ. Now, no one else introduced you to Christ.
No.
He introduced himself to you.
I wouldn't have accepted it any other way, because I didn't like other people's concepts
of truth. Right.
I wanted the real truth from the real guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I believe that is so true of many people, because there's so much negativity out there about God himself, his son, the Holy Spirit, the word, even the mm-hmm. word of God, just like we heard yesterday, you know. How do we know it's correct? How do we know that it's real? How do we know that God wrote that, or
yeah.
he inspired all these other men to write the Bible? And how do we know that they wrote down everything that he said? How do we know through translation that it's still relevant
mm-hmm.
to us today? Or how do we know these things?
Well, I strongly suggest that you use some of these resources that I mentioned as we go along. So I've told people a lot about different resources mm-hmm. that you can use. At least Strobel is one of the very best. The Case for Christ is really unapproachable as far as modern evidence is concerned, because mm-hmm. of comparing documents and so on and so forth, you know, comparing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to each other. You can find out a lot of truth that way.
True.
You know,
true.
And on it goes. And plus, the guy yesterday mentioned, I used to get a publication, a Jewish publication about Bible archaeology. And it's a Jewish publication, but they admit that there's a tremendous amount of evidence in favor of the New Testament
right.
in there. And so, but there's a lot, in, you know, a lot about the Old Testament, too. Solomon's stables and stuff like that. Underground stuff, you know, I went to a museum in Cincinnati that the natural museum in Cincinnati.
Creation, don't they have a creation museum?
Well, they had one of those exhibits that travel.
Okay.
And there was actually some scripts, some little tiny scripts. They said that Moses wrote, you know, underneath a bunch of glass and everything, you know, and you could see it down there. Beautiful Hebrew handwriting.
Okay.
And there was all kinds of artifacts, and they had statues of some of the false gods that Israel started to worship, every these little gods like Barbie dolls or something. And Hezekiah, there was a big slab where Hezekiah had written a bunch of stuff. And it just went on, you know. And so I thought that was fascinating, but there is that evidence. The archaeological evidence is really overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
you know, about the Bible. So, but a lot of people, like, I remember this guy at work. He was determined to contradict anything you said about the, that was true about the Bible, you know. And I, it became obvious that some people will not accept any evidence, no matter how strong it is. Mm-hmm. They just don't want Christ in their life. You know, so they'll sit there and go, well, that, how do I know that's accurate? Well,
so that's the issue. They really don't want Christ in their life, so they reject any type right. of information or wisdom or knowledge that is associated with Christ himself or the Word of God. The Bible.
Right. And another thing, you got to realize that all sciences, I like science.
I do too.
And, but it's limited.
And it's a theory. A lot of it's theory.
Yeah, a lot of it is theoretical. And so, but, you know, they're willing to accept science because a lot of times, look at all the good stuff it's done, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
it
they think
it's...
It has
its place. We'll put it like
yeah,
that, right?
It has but it place. Doesn't have all the answers.
No, it doesn't.
That's what I try to get across to people is, what good does it do to put science up there as number one on your list? When you die, is it going to help you come back to life? Is it going to soothe you when you're laying there dying? Hmm. You know, even your relatives can't really give you that much solace when you're laying in your deathbed.
Right.
You know, so this world is a test.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God saying, for the next 70 years, you will receive a test.
Right.
And to see if you're going to search after truth,
right.
you know.
So, like, if I'm an unbeliever and I'm really dealing with what is true and what is false, and someone like you comes and gives his testimony and say that I was once an unbeliever, I was once an atheist, but I am not now because I have met the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So... what, how does that benefit you, and how can that benefit someone else who does not believe? And they say, well, show me this Jesus. If Lord, if you're real, show me who you are, or talk to me like you talk to Jeff. Okay.
Yeah.
What can you say to them?
He will.
What's the benefit of all that?
Well, we're talking about spending eternity in the right place, for one thing.
Okay.
Don't want to go to the wrong place for eternity, because eternity is a very, very long time.
Yes.
You know.
It's forever.
That's right. So God is saying get it right while you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't necessarily have to go to somebody else. You know, you may listen to my testimony. It may have an influence. It may not.
Right.
You know, or you may listen to somebody else's testimony. The thing is, if you're willing to go to God and ask him questions and ask him to reveal him, go ask God with a sincere heart, would he reveal himself to you? He will. He absolutely will. But see, in this world, we have to live by faith, because that's the way he set it up, to see if you're going to search after truth and if you're going to believe truth when you run into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
So once in a blue moon, you might have a vision, or somebody might have a real vision. Satan can imitate, so you got to be careful about that.
Yes, because he could change himself into an angel of light.
That's right. In fact, he is an angel.
Yes, he is.
So he doesn't look like what the world makes him out to be, this clothed, hooved, and horns on his head, and ugly, and all that. Yeah, pitchfork and all that. No. He would like you to believe that.
Right.
So, you know, oh, well, I can recognize Satan. That's what he looks like. No.
I had a pastor that used to say, he's not going to knock on your door and say, hey, it's Satan. I come to do you in today.
Yeah.
So he doesn't.
Yeah.
No. Who was that who said, oh, that was Sunday. He was saying that Satan wears, I think he said, cotton shoes.
Yeah.
You cannot hear him coming.
Yeah.
You know, he's slick, he's sly, he's subtle, and he does not announce himself.
No.
You know, and that unbelief thing is only him trying to deter you. But God, I feel, wants to show up and show out in your life and let you know exactly who he is and that he is real.
Yes.
He does exist.
So it's important to realize, and that is very, very good, Linda, that both of these are unseen forces.
Yes, they are.
God and Satan are here, but you can't see them with your natural eyes most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so your main goal as a human being in this world is not to make money. It's not to see how many women you can get in bed or how many men. Get yourself a nice disease. And people end up addicted to drugs and addicted to alcohol. You've only got so much time in this world. Now, you realize that Satan can deceive you and make you think, oh, you got plenty of time, so go ahead and get addicted to heroin, you know.
Right.
But you don't.
Try it. You might like it.
But yeah.
If you try it, it's hard to get away from it.
You like it so much you can't get away from it.
Right.
You know.
It's not worth it.
And so why waste your time on all that stuff? When your job is to seek after truth, find out that Jesus is truly the Savior, and then find out what you're supposed to be doing to serve Him. That is your whole thing in life.
Yes.
So it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it's time to do that. It's time to accept Jesus into your heart. Ask Him to come in. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and be born again, and then start walking upright before God, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do, but we want to be able to do that. And the reason why it's becoming more and more urgent that you get it right with God, because the fiery wrath and judgment of God will eventually arrive at this world.
It's getting closer and closer. Every day, every second of the day.
That's right. We only have the peace that we have right now in America is not going to last. I don't believe it. I believe that we're going to hit economic collapse and then the tribulation. So now's the time.
And when you say, you said yesterday that you were self-taught.
Yeah.
And the caller had somewhat of a problem with that.
Yeah, I've run into that. I set up a display at Marion Public Library, had a couple of times where they had local authors come in, and I set up a display in there. Mm-hmm. And I had quite a few people come by and go, well, what formal education have you had in this area? And I searched for an answer for that, because God has called me to this area. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, what college did Jesus attend?
Okay.
You know, what college did Peter attend?
Right.
You know, and some of God's servants have formal educations. Some of them are like astronauts, like Neil Armstrong believed in Christ.
Right.
You know, and some of them have not had a lot of formal education.
Secondary school and all that, yeah.
And a friend of mine told me that sometimes seminary and all that can destroy your faith, because they're just so stiff, you know, and unwavering in a lot of their stuff, you know, not having the true Spirit of God.
Okay.
You know.
Just formalism.
Yeah. Legalism.
Yeah.
So that's not always good. I know that they asked Hank Hanegraaff, who was the, I don't know if he still is or not. I haven't listened to him for a long time, but he's former head of the Christian Research Institute, and he doesn't have any formal education that I know of,
right,
but is very good at apologetics from what he's learned on his own, you know. So it's not always necessary to go to college.
No, it's
quote,
not.
Quote.
No, it's not, because there's certain things only God can teach you anyway.
Yeah.
And that's through your time of searching the scriptures daily, meditating on the Word of God, using your dictionary, or your commentary, whatever you have to research, history books. There's all kinds of ways. It's just people can have a whole room full of Bibles and Bible-based books and even different Bibles.
Yes.
That you can compare with King James, you know, because there are some, even when the enemy comes after you, he comes after you with some truth.
That's right. What's what makes him so dangerous?
Yes, he comes with some truth. Now he knows some scripture too.
Yeah.
And he quoted some to Eve, but there's a lie in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, God's afraid you'll become as gods.
Yeah.
Knowing good and evil.
Right. You'll be like him.
You'll be your own god, I guess.
Right, you'll be like him, the Most High, if you do this. If you eat this, what I say. You know, I'm telling you that whatever God told you, don't pay any attention to that because he doesn't know. What I know.
That's right. I've heard some of these prosperity teachers say, you don't have a God in you. You are one. That's very appealing, isn't it?
I've heard that too. It is very appealing, but you know, you just have to understand, we're not sovereign.
No.
There's only one sovereign Lord.
Well, there's one thing that proves that wrong.
What's that?
Like Kenneth Hagin was in the prosperity movement and believed that. But he had several heart surgeries before he died.
Oh, I remember Kenneth Hagin, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he really thought he was God.
He thought he was a God, at least. He might have thought he was God, I don't know.
A God, wow. And I think
that's a lie that goes all the way back to Eden.
I think that has a lot to do with men in power right now today.
Yeah, they want to be.
They think they're untouchable.
Yeah.
You know, they're irreplaceable. You know, we're going to always need them, or they're going to always be around. They're not even looking at the fact that money, you can't buy your way into heaven.
No.
You know, you can't be so famous that they're saying, oh, come up here where we are. You know.
Death is the end of it.
Yes, that is. And you must humble yourself.
Well, that's why Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why?
Right.
Because God makes it difficult for them? No. Because they make it difficult for themselves.
True.
You know, we've got all this money. It's just like the church of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing.
Nothing. Don't need nothing.
But what did Jesus say?
Ooh.
You're miserable, blind, naked.
Wretched.
Wretched.
Not me. I'm not wretched, am I? They're without Christ, right?
That's right. That's right.
Without
only
Christ,
he
I'm
can
dead.
Give us, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in us. They like to quote that one.
Yeah.
We have the righteousness of God through him. When we die, then we have his righteousness so that we can enter into heaven, because God can't let sin into heaven.
Oh, a lot of people think they're gone. They think they're gone just
then
like
And wake
they
up
are.
A rude awakening.
Ooh. Well, we are here to send out word through the hedges and the byways and trying to snatch people out of the fire.
That's right.
Through this radio program. Jeff, he is our doomsday prophet, just to alert people that it's not going to always remain like this. Thank you, Jeff, for sharing your time
with us today.
Very
much glad to.
Thank you for those of you who wanted to call in and maybe somebody talked you out of it. Next time Jeff comes, maybe you can call. It doesn't matter who's here. I would love to hear from you. They would love to have your questions or your comments. Thank you once again for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. Continue to have a blessed day. Until next time, be blessed. Don't forget, H. Good will be back July 23rd. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?
Yes, methinks I am a prophet new inspired, and thus aspiring to foretell of him. His rash, fierce blaze of riot cannot last, for violent fires soon burn out themselves. Like vanity, insatiate cormorants, consuming means soon preys upon the soul. And go on and on, this royal throne of kings, this sceptred isle, this earth of Mars. Yes, I did Shakespeare, and I retained the dialogue.
To Emmy Award-winning star of Picket Fences, Fyvish Finkel.
Oh, if I were a rich man, he'd be a bitty bum. All day long, I'd be a bitty bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a bitty, bitty rich, I'd a diddle, diddle, diddle man. I'd build a big, tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. I don't want to sing anymore. I'm going to pay me.
I love it, Fyvish.
WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Search for us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
If you were a cheetah, you could be here just like that. If you were a kangaroo, well, you'd be here in just a few hops. This is Jungle Jack Hanna.
It's a wild way to stay and play. Meet 10,000 awesome animals at the Columbus Zoo, plus splash all day at Zumbezi Bay with tons of rides and water slides.
So what are you waiting for?
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games.
Let your shamrock shine at the Dublin Irish Festival. Celebrate Celtic culture with great eats, live entertainment, and more. August 2nd through the 4th.
This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com. And keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. Marion Court Apartments, located on Fairfax Road, offering newly updated one-bedroom apartments with laundry room and patio. Telephone number 740-389-3462. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments.
Marion's First Lady of Dance, Martha Dowse, is a living legend who has been teaching dance since 1943. Always loving and giving, for 25 years, Martha organized benefit dances, raising in excess of $90,000 for leukemia research in memory of Michael Rollins, an 8-year-old cancer victim from Marion. She has also served as secretary for Marion Midget Football for over 35 years.
I'm the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and you're listening to WWGH Radio, 107.1 Snap, Crackle, and Pop FM.
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too, but after a while I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the talking place.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hey everyone, it's Weasel Boy, Weasel the Weeze. You might remember me from WNCI in Columbus. Now good for you. Lucky, you won the bet. I'm going to be right back here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It's going to be the Weasel Show. We're going to have huge guests, great prizes, lots of entertainment. We're going to be interactive and give away a lot of goodies. So you can listen live on the net at WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. The Weasel Show is supported by Retrofoam of Central Ohio, LLC. Retrofoam doesn't cost, it pays. Telephone number is 614-664-FOAM. That's 614-664-3626. Website, www.retrofoamofcentralohio.com. And you can catch them on Facebook at Retrofoam of Cent Ohio.
I'm the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, reminding you not to forget to catch Adam Lepp on Monday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. with Mid-Morning Coffee Break right here on 107.1 FM WWGH.
Ted listens, and so should you. Also, talk today's top and trendy technology topics with me, Adam, every Tuesday and Thursday between 2:10 and 3 p.m. on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number, 740-387-9050.
At Zumbezi Bay, there are endless ways to enjoy your day. So whether you're a speedy slider, a tiny tighter, a super splasher, or a max relaxer, you'll love all our rides, tides, and water slides. Plus, admission to Zumbezi Bay gets you into the Columbus Zoo, too. So what are you waiting for? Yeah. Learn more at columbuszoo.org.
Zumbezi Bay!
Hi, gang, it's Gallagher. Do you know what time it is? No, you don't. That's why you need me to tell you. It's time for the WWGH News. What is that? It's news about people, news about places and their plans. And what? It's live from the WWGH News Center. I'm Gallagher, but I told you that.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Convicted killer Sean Great faced similar territory on Monday, a courtroom, a judge, and murder charges. But this time, he appeared via video. Last week, Great was indicted on 4 new charges: aggravated murder, kidnapping, abuse of a corpse, and tampering with evidence. The charges stem from the death of Dana Lowry, whose remains were discovered along Victory Road in Marion County back in March of 2007. In court, Great pleaded not guilty to all charges on Monday. Investigators believe Great killed Lowry in May of 2006 and that she was his first victim, but it took years to determine her identity. It wasn't until 2016 when investigators got a break in the case from Great himself. He told investigators the woman's name may have been Dana or Diana. That tip plus work from Project Link and the DNA Doe Project eventually led to Lowry's daughters, who provided DNA that ultimately confirmed her identity. Sheriff Tim Bailey says Lowry was in Marion County selling magazines when she was killed. He says she sold magazines to Great's mother but never supplied them. That angered Great enough that he lured her into his car, took her back to his house, and choked and stabbed her, according to the sheriff. Great also is accused of then burning her body and belongings. Great already is on death row, convicted of killing Elizabeth Griffith and Stacy Stanley in Ashland County. He later was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole in the deaths of Rebecca Lacey and Candace Cunningham in Richland County. That means Great's fate is already sealed, but both the prosecutor and his defense attorney said there are good reasons for this case to move forward from here. Each victim deserves justice, and I do not believe it's a misuse or waste of taxpayer resources for Miss Lowry to have this justice done, said Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. Grogan said, and I will be handling this case personally, obviously, and it is my complete intention to see justice for her, for Miss Lowry and her family. Great's attorney Terry Hitchman also pointed out that there are certain legal procedures that need to be followed. From the prosecutor's point of view, there needs to be closure in any case, and I think from Sean's point of view, there needs to be closure in whatever he may have been involved in, Hitchman said. I think the important factor to consider is, although you're talking about Sean Great and one young lady, you're talking about the families of everybody too, so there needs to be some sort of closure for all that. Judge Warren Edwards also set a $1 million bond for Great, although that was purely procedural. Great's next hearing is set for late August.
For the Marion, Ohio weather team, I'm Zach Fuller. Another calm day on tap for the Marion area. I'll have the latest forecast coming up in your Weather Minute from the Marion, Ohio News Network. Did you know on this day in 1936, the temperature hit an all-time record high of 106 degrees at the Central Park Observatory in New York City, a record which lasted until LaGuardia Airport hit 107 degrees on July 3rd in 1966. Now you know with Marion, Ohio Weather and the Marion, Ohio News Network. From the Marion, Ohio Weather Center, this is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Tuesday in the Marion area, a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm after 3 p.m., otherwise sunny skies, a high near 86 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 67 degrees. For your Wednesday, another slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., but mostly sunny, a high near 88 degrees. Thursday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 83. And Friday, mostly sunny, a high near 82. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com. For Marion, Ohio Weather Online, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.